Blog Talk Radio.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory! Woo! You better put them hands together and act like you know up in here. Chief Peace!
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to your place. First, we want to announce this week that there will be no show this coming week. Many people are going to be busy with Thanksgiving and are going to have company during the week to prepare for. So to allow for you to enjoy your time at family, we will not have a scheduled show. Second, tonight we are not having our next portion of our one-year Bible study. While Bill preached Sunday night, and he wanted to share his thoughts from that message with you on the show tonight. If you did not catch it from the song that was played, while Bill wants you to do some stomping in your walk of faith. While Bill asked me to apologize to everyone for having a cold that you can hear during his message. He also wanted to apologize for not having been able to share the message quite the same as he presented it in a church setting. He has said many times that he does not have that $50 word vocabulary, as he is aware his speech patterns are not as smooth as many other preachers or teachers. But with that said, the topic of the show tonight is as simple as it is. It's easy to overlook in your walk with God. While Bill loves illustrations that paint pictures, he prays that he is able to paint a picture in your mind of the message for application into your life. We have done one of these shows. We haven't done one of these shows in a long time, and we pray that the sound quality is good for you to hear. As always, we open up the mics at the end of the show so you can add a comment or ask questions. Just push the number 1 on your phone, and I'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number and place you on the air. Now, have a listen.
Hello, Starla. Hello to everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio land. I'm going to try something tonight that I've not done in a long time. It is really hard to do something pre-recorded that you do for a live church service and then, you know, to try to present it over a radio with no audience, no people there, no people praying or praising God and worshiping. It is really one of those things that it's almost scary. If you've never done something like this before, the little thing we interject at the end or something like that, it's not quite so bad because as you're hearing the teachings of what's being said or you're hearing someone else share their Bible study or their lesson or sermon on the Blog Talk show, man, you get the Holy Ghost gets to rise it up inside of you and different thoughts come into your head and just you have comments and things of how things stir you and you respond to it. But to try to do what I'm going to try to do tonight, and I haven't done it in a long time, is one of those things that, to be honest with you, I'm really surprised that I'm attempting this. But it's this all started with the fact that I was asked to preach in our church last night. And I really appreciate Brother Smithson for allowing me to do that. And there were some things that I had really thought that I had really come across some nuggets in working back and forth. And I shared a thought with Blog Talk Mama that she come back with some information about some words I'd never heard of before and talking about things of the English language and different languages. And I came across something in the Hebrew language that I thought was really interesting. And I thought, oh, wow, I mean, this is all fitting together. And I've got two different points that's going to come in and tie into one message, and this is, you know, it's going to be, I'm going to have to really work to try to keep it something short and something not real long. And then I got it all down, got it all printed out, and then in my process that I have this time to where I just stop and pray and I meditate on the things of God. And during that, it's like the Lord just spoke to me, said, this is not what you're going to preach tonight. And I was like, oh, man, you know, Lord, why you do this to me? And it was like, hey, this is going to be short. It's going to be simple. You know, just try to follow along after the leading of the Holy Ghost here, and everything's going to be okay. And I thought, so, okay, here I've got 12 pages of notes and 2 pages of scriptures. And, you know, I was prepared for this, Lord. And, you know, it's that shift, you know, of just trying to be obedient and being sensitive to the things that God places in your life when he's wanting you to minister to people. It's the same thing that happens to where, you know, you just say, man, I sure wish I could witness to someone, and then God sends someone in your path. Well, you got to be ready. You got to be prepared to be first. You got to be sensitive to what's going on in that person's life. You got to be willing to take time to listen as they go through this whole thing and just maybe just I can't think of another way to say it, they just kind of vomit their life up on you and all their problems and everything, and then you try to sit there and, you know, allow God to speak through you, or things in your life, or things that you've seen, and or different scriptures that God brings to your mind. And it's sort of the same thing with preparing a message. I was digging through my Bible trying to pull out the notes from last night to share on this, and as I said, this is not something that's real simple to do, to come here. There's not an audience, which is not so much an audience, but I don't have people praying. I don't have that supportive amens going on. I don't have the Holy Ghost that you can feel moving through people and seeing things in their life and where God shows you needs that are there. You don't have that when you're doing it on a blog talk show like this. And so if you see people that you've heard preach that's been on our show before and they seem to have struggle with it, that's why. You know, it's easy, like I said, to come along at the end and, you know, just be able to share something that speaks to you from a lesson or a Bible lesson or a Sunday school lesson or a message that someone's preached or something like that. That is one of those things that's not really that hard to do when you have a relationship with God. And I know I've went all the way around the world, and some of you are thinking, man, you're speaking Greek, you know, I don't really understand what you're saying. And so I'm going to try to share this with you. Like I say, I haven't done this in a long time, and I pray that this works out to where this speaks to you as it did to me, and as it worked out for our church service last night. One thing that Starla and I had heard, it was really interesting. On Sunday mornings, we have a routine that we go through getting ready for church where we have songs that we play, and we're being prayerful as we're getting ready for church, and we're trying to be sensitive to God and what He's going to have happening in our service. And it's just it's an interesting phenomenon. I don't really understand what's going on, but I'm playing YouTube videos. And we're not so much watching the videos, we're listening to the music. And all of a sudden, something that's not on my playlist will just play. I can't explain it. I take it for what it is. I feel like this is God just bringing something into my life. But yesterday morning, we heard this thing, and I want to share with you how that, you know, a lot of times we get examples that come in our path like this, and we don't really see how to apply it. But I hear all the time, you know, people talking about, man, I want to see my children saved. I want to see my husband saved, or my wife saved, or, you know, I want my grandchildren to be saved. And some of the things that we have in life, the tools and things that God's given us, we don't really stop and think about it. And I thought this story really fit. And it was talking about these people that lived out in a place where there was deep snow that would fall. And they were going to do their chores the next day and everything. And the father noticed that the children were having a hard time breaking a path through the snow. And there was a struggle that was there. And so what did the dad do? He went and he created a path walking through the snow. And then just told his children, said, just walk in my footsteps. And you're saying, Brother Bill, what does one have to do with the other? Talking about family is lost and friends and things that you're wanting to see come into the kingdom. But see, if you're walking around through life and you look like you're sucking on green persimmons, and you talk about how all the things is that you hate in your church, and how you don't like this and you don't like that, and you don't like this person, and you don't like this kind of music that's being sung, and you don't think this person can really has a talent to sing, and this person, you know, probably shouldn't be leading the services, and just, you know, all these things get to churning, and then your life, you just, oh man, I really don't feel like going to church today, man, I don't really feel like God's using me for anything today, I don't want to be used. You're not going to draw anybody to want to be a Christian, to want to live for God. They don't see anything there from you to say, hey, I want what you got. But see, when you walk in that path, and see, the other part about this walking the path thing is you got to walk the right path. You know, if you're trying to get to the barn, you know, because it's time to milk the cows or something like that, then guess what? You got to make a direct path to the barn. You're not going to zigzag around and go up over the South 40, zigzag around to the fence line out on the east side of the property. You're going to make a direct shot to that barn. And so part of this living for God thing is you got to be focused and you got to walk the path direct to God. You got to be living it every day in your life. You can't say one thing and live another. You can't go out there and try to say, hey, this is what you're supposed to do, and you're not doing it yourself. You can't tell people about the joy of the Lord if you don't have any joy of the Lord in your life. You can't talk about the victory, the overcoming power of God, if you don't have the victory and the overpowering power of God in your life. And so as you make this path and you go through, that is what people are going to look at. Your children and grandchildren and your friends and your neighbors and all the people that you want to be see the saved, they're going to look first at the path that you're walking. And then as you break that path, it's not just something you could do for your family, but for others around it. They may not even know your name, but there's something they see in your life that they just can't quite put their hand on. They're like, I want that. I need that in my life. And so they'll come to that path and they'll walk it behind you as you break it, because see, what's awesome about the God that we serve is that He will go before us and He'll break that path for us. He'll make a way where it seems like there's no way. He's faithful. He's just, that is the thing about God. But God's never going to make you do anything in your life. Not ever. Anyway, I shared that with the church, and I thought, man, what a blessing this is for God to put that in our mind. And then I have these scriptures here, starting off in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Then you drop down to verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Going down to verse 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And I was like, wow. As you're reading this here, and we're familiar with the story in the garden of how the fall of man is part of what we're all living right now. It's part of our life that we have to overcome that sin nature that's part of who we are. And you look here and you see that all are probably very familiar with the story of how the serpent came and he came to Eve and he tempted her. And he told her that she would not surely die and that she would be just like God. And just to go ahead and just have a little bit, just look at it. Can't you just see it looks good? And when you stop and think about, man, I don't know if you've ever had a stone bruise, or I didn't order it, but I had that little thing called plantar fasciitis. And I'm telling you what, that was one of the worst things that I could ever have in the bottom of my foot that hurt in my entire life. That was until I went to the doctor and he got to sticking a needle inside there in the arch of my foot in the bottom of it, and then got to working it around like a plunger as he was putting medicine in all the areas that needed to be to break loose and stop the pain from what was there. And my wife is witness, I hollered. Man, as he was working that thing around, I'd grunt and I'd cry and I was hollering. And then this doctor had the audacity to tell me, he said, now, if this doesn't work, if this wears off and you're hurting again, come back. And I'm like, yeah, just go ahead and mark that down in your appointment, but we're going to see if that's ever going to happen. It can fall off. I'm not coming back. I'm not going through this ever again. And thank the Lord, I've not had any more problems with that. The Lord has kept me safe on that and made it to where I didn't even have to even consider going back. But as you look here and you see how Satan, and the Bible talked about him being more subtle than any beast of the field, and I know Blocktop Mom's thinking I'm probably going to go into what I had found in the Hebrew language about subtle and naked is the same word in the Hebrew language. But that's not where God, that's where I was at in my original message, but that's not where God took me here. And I know in our own mind we get this picture of Satan being like this long, maybe like a centipede or something, where the snake was off the ground or something here a little bit, or maybe he stood up straight and was just a slender, you know, thing looking around there. But, you know, really sometimes we need to think he could have been something that was closer to looking like a man than any other creature that there was. and the curse of God. See, we want to limit things when we look at it as to what God can do and how he can do it, and we want to put God in a box on things. All we know is for sure is that what he was before and what he became was not the same. All of a sudden he was there. And we've all, my dad had this saying, the only good snake is a dead snake. And I sort of came up with the same thing, even though I know some snakes, like the king snake, can be very helpful as far as getting rid of a pest around your homes and things like that. But still, it's one of those things that you stop and nobody likes to. There's something fascinating about it. When you go to the zoo and they're sitting there and they're slitting that tongue out and they're looking at you with them beady eyes, and it's almost a hypnotic thing that happens there as you're looking at these snakes. And as I was sitting there and God just, he narrowed these scriptures down to these here, and I was thinking, you know, like, Lord, what is it you're wanting me to see on this? What is the point of this right here? And then God took me to Ephesians 6 and 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I thought, wow. See, we all understand that when in the Old Testament, everything was based under law and the structure of law, and that if you broke one commandment, you broke them all. And it was an impossibility for man to live within the confines of the law. It was something that was meant to keep them secure in one sense. It was a wall around them to keep them safe. It gave them a structure to live by. It gave them some stability that was there. But it was one of those things that you can read where the law was to give us our righteousness. And then you can read on the Bible and find out to where our righteousness is as filthy rags. But in the Old Testament, can you imagine all of a sudden, you know, here's Satan. He has the ability as a serpent to come up here and bruise your heel. And it can be painful. It can be one of those things that's a real nuisance. It's a pain. It's one of those things that can make you walk with a limp. It can slow you down. It can hinder. You may not want to walk quite so far. You may not want to continue along the path that you're on. You got this, your heel has been bruised. It's one of those things that's there. And then you look at the fact that God put it up here that we can bruise his head. See, we all know that to kill a snake, you just need to crush its head or cut its head off. The head. God's let us see something here if we stop and think about it. See, we see Satan as a roaring lion going around to seek who he can devour, and we understand the lion is the king of the jungle and is powerful, and, you know, when he roars and everything, that animals tremble in fear, and sometimes when he roars, it's one of those things that can just like be a deer caught in the headlights. They just freeze. They can't move. It's one of those things that it just paralyzes them with fear when they have that there. And we understand that Satan is a good Satan. You know, he's a good devil. I'm telling you right now that he knows how to push every button in your life that's going to stir up a wrong reaction. He's going to know how to use your children, your grandchildren. He can even use people in your church that love you and they're concerned about your spiritual well-being. God can even use those people to push your buttons. And I was sharing with our church to how there was an incident that I've seen in my life to where there was this woman who was living for God, and all of a sudden it just came up in her life, and she don't remember if someone told her or if it's something that she just thought, but she knew that this person was talking bad about her, saying things about her that wasn't true, and she was offended. And so as being as someone in the Bible, they went up there, so you got fought with a brother or sister, you go to them. They went up and like, hey, they knocked on the door and like, hey, why are you saying this about me? And the other person looked at them in shock, didn't know what to say, but also being a spiritually minded person, they invited them in and they sat down and said, you're not going to believe this, but I've thought that maybe about you, but I never told anybody that about you. See, what we're not aware of sometimes, Satan, he's got this thing to where if we're not just walking that path, if we're not striving to stay close to God, if we're not focused on living the life that we say, living the Word of God as we say. See, it's one of those things to have the Word of God and the promises and things that are there, but it gives us direction of where to go, directions of things to do, directions of things to stay away from. When God said, be ye separate from this world, be in this world, but be separate from this world, he meant it. When God said, I want you to be a holy people, holy. I want you to be holy even as I'm holy. And we knew under the Old Testament that was one of those things that was impossible to do. We couldn't do that. But see, under the New Testament covenant, we can place Jesus' righteousness upon us when we receive the Holy Ghost. When we get born again, where we repent of our sins, we're baptized in Jesus' name, as the Bible tells us to do, for remission of sins, and we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost as a free gift that's given to everyone, we have completed the covenant that God has laid out for us. And when we do that, we get to put on His righteousness, His holiness, His power. Those are the things that we're taking upon ourselves when we do those things. It's one of those things of correction in a manner that they didn't have in the Old Testament. And see, in the Old Testament, they didn't have the full armor. See, we're in a warfare. We got a real enemy with Satan up there. And like I say, he wants to push your buttons. And in this situation, they put these women, and I got this from a book that I think it was This Present Darkness. It was talking about demons and angels and how they work in your life. And it was a fiction story, but I thought it was very well written. And he was talking about how that Satan would come along and send a demon that wanted to cause some kind of conflict, or wanted to break loose things in a church to where all of a sudden there's confusion. Satan likes confusion. And so he goes along and he sticks his little finger in someone's mind. He gets to twirling thoughts in there. Yep, that sister over there, she ain't doing right. She's taking things in her life and she's allowing it to edify her and not God. You know, she's all about herself. She ain't about, you know, really the kingdom. And these thoughts get to twirling in your head, and the more you entertain a thought, so you got to place your mind under subjection. There's other armor there, but I'm going to stick just with the footwear that God's given us tonight. And so you put that thought there. And then on the other end, he can plant it there. Oh, this thought, this person's talking about you. These are things that they're thinking, and these that they're saying to other people that are there. And neither one of the people manifested anything on their own. They just allowed that thought to sit there, and it festers, and it grows. Because, see, Satan has come along, and he's stuck up out of an ugly head. He's flicking that tongue out there. And he's, yeah, buddy, I'm gonna push some hot buttons here. I'm going to do some things here that's going to cause some disruption in the church. I'm gonna cause some confusion in the kingdom. I'm going to cause disruption here so these people can't work together as one, to be in one mind and one accord like they were on the day of Pentecost. When you come into churches and you got people coming in, they got real needs. I'm talking real needs, drug addictions, you know, all kinds of things where children are being abused in their homes. People that don't have anything to eat and they don't want to admit it anyway. I shared something here a couple of weeks ago in a message to where there's two things that I have seen in church that's the hardest thing for people to do. And one is for a sinner to stand up at the end of a service and make that walk to an altar and let everybody see. And to be part of that walking up there, I feel like is a confession. It breaks something in our spirit to like, I need help. I've got to have help. I need God. I need these people to come in and join with me in prayer. I need help. And it's hard to do. But the second hardest is for someone that's been repented of sins, baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden life comes at you, and you're struggling, and you don't understand what's happening. Maybe you've had an identity that all through your church, that maybe you were someone that was financially blessed. And man, you were, man, Johnny on the spot. An evangelist came, he lost his wallet, and he didn't have any money. And you whatever was missing, you just made it up out of your pocket. Or maybe you saw someone on the street that was struggling and didn't have something to eat. Or maybe they needed something to wear, and you supplied the need. And you've done these things, and all of a sudden, boom, your world's turned upside down. Your finances are not what they were. Your job that you had that paid you the money that you were doing, or your business that you owned, is all of a sudden gone. It's not there anymore. And so God's like, you know, you got to realize something, brother, sister. Your identity to me is not in the things that you can offer for the kingdom there. I want you to understand some things here, because it's you of what you offer to the kingdom, not the things that you have that you offer to the kingdom. See, that can be sort of a habit. We saw that with Job. You know, the whole thing about the thing that he feared most. He had a fear of some things that he didn't want to change in his life, and those things were attacked and taken from him. And so here we have brothers and sisters are going through this same thing, and they're struggling. And guess what? Satan wants to keep us divided. I saw this YouTube video the other day that I thought, man, it was this water buffalo, and I thought they should have titled this The Water Buffalo Having the Worst Day Ever. See, Satan likes to catch you when you're away from the herd. He likes to find the ones that are weak, the ones that maybe are sick or have been injured or something like that, and that's the ones he wants to go after, like the brother or sister I was talking about that maybe have lost their identity because God wanted them to see that the identity they needed to have in him was the value that he placed on them, not the things that they had. And so here this water buffalo was, and there's a whole pride of lions that surrounded this water buffalo. Now this water buffalo wasn't sick. He had this huge rack of horns, and he was sitting there, and they'd come at him. He'd toss his head, and he'd lower that head, and he'd throw some dirt with his hooves and stomp the ground. And this was a huge animal, and the lion that was facing him would just back off. But see, the whole time, the lions were coming up from behind to come after him. And you stop and think, how many times would he have had to been bitten or scratched to just got weak enough to where all of a sudden they could just come all the way around him and take him down? But this water buffalo had a plan. He goes off in the river because he's a powerful swimmer. And so he goes out there where the water's a little deeper, and he's swimming around, and he's looking back at there, and he's like, man, this is smart. He's got it all planned out. See, the carnal mind, which is enmity between us and God, sometimes wants to plan things out on our own to where we don't really get the big picture, what God's wanting to do in our life. And so all of a sudden you see this giant crocodile come up beside this water buffalo, and it's sitting there and it's trying to grab hold of him, and he's too big and he can't really get a grip. And at one point he grabs hold of a horn, and so the water buffalo, he swims back to shore, and you see this pride of lions, they're moving in. And you think, man, this I don't want to watch this video. This is not going to end well. And so he knows that the crocodile is not going to leave him alone, and there's probably going to be some more crocodiles coming along. He's got to get out of the water. And so he makes these sounds. And you can't tell what it is he's saying, but I don't speak water buffalo, but I think he was saying, help me. Help me. I need help. Somebody help me. And see, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to realize that we need his help. That sometimes that when things have gotten cold or things have been estranged with us, between us and God, because we're not where we were before with him, and we're not able to do the things we used to do in him. Maybe you were known as a singer or something in church, and all of a sudden your voice is gone, and you know, age creeps in, and maybe you were known as one to really get in there and shout and really get in there and work altars and things like that, and you, at through age, you don't have the ability to do those things to the same level that you did before, and so you feel like you're losing identity and you're trying to branch out in all directions. Sometimes all you got to do is just say, help. Help. And so this water buffalo, he comes out on there, the lions are moving in, and all of a sudden you see a whole herd of water buffaloes, big massive creatures, big giant horns, and you can almost see like the ground is shaking as they come up over the hill, and they come to the aid of the other water buffalo. And the lions, they want no part of a herd of healthy water buffalo, and so they go away. And so we know in the Old Testament that this was established with the curse, that Satan could come along and he can bruise our heel, and it can hinder, and it can cause us to have disruption in our walk with God. But see, we go to the New Testament and we find that God's given us armor. See, when you build a house, you don't start from the top. You start from a foundation and go up. And we saw that our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, I don't have to explain to any of you what peace is. We all understand peace. And we all like the idea of being able to go along and get some shoes. See, These are special warfare shoes that's to equip us against our enemy Satan, who is like a serpent that can bruise our heel. These are like snake boots. These are boots that can go up there. If you're in, mushy ground and stuff, and you need to get traction, it's got tractor treads on the bottom of it. It's going to help you get a grip. It's going to be something there that when Satan tries to bite your heel and bruise your heel, guess what? Whew, you got protection. You got something there that you didn't have in the Old Testament. You're equipped. But see, it's not one of those things that you can just go to a rack and say a size 12 of the shoes that God's got for us here in the full armor size 9, please. Can you give me that in a flat top, or can you give me that in a Converse style, or whatever? You know, you have to have preparation when it comes to getting these shoes. And so how do you have preparation? Well, it goes back to that same thing I was talking about, walking the path. You got to get into the Word of God, this good news. And you got to understand that there's parts that God plays, and in the relationship, there's parts that you play. See, it's a love relationship that goes back and forth between the both of you. God's done His part. He's done everything and laid out there to equip us with what we need. But you got to get into His Word. You got to get in there and not just memorize John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Yeah, that's great. You know, for God so loved the world. That's like people want to quote partial scriptures, you know. Oh, man, I don't have to worry about anything because God said He would not ever put anything more on me than what I can bear. You know, everything works to the good for those that are called. Whoo, yeah, that's me. Best don't forget that other part, according to His purpose, not our purpose. See, we got to take the Word of God and we got to get in there and we got to divide these things to look at what is my part that I have to play in this. Yeah, I got to be separate from the world. I got to be holy. God says, "Be holy as I'm holy." What I got to show this, that if there's a love that God wants to have with us, then I got to have that love working in my life. If there's a joy that comes from serving God, then I got to have that joy in my life. If there's a victory that comes from serving God, then you better be able to see some victory in my life, some overcoming power. He said, "Greater is He that's within me than he that's in the world." See, Satan is really good at his job and everything, but God wants us to understand, I've set it up now so all He can do is bruise your heel. But under the New Testament covenant, I got some shoes that I want you to wear. That when He comes up here, He's going to go, pong! Those teeth are not going to be able to penetrate. It's not going to be something where there's going to be any bruising that's going to take place. Matter of fact, what is the other part of that? You shall bruise His head. Maybe it's time for the church to realize we need to do, like that song I played at the beginning of this, get up there and do a little head stomping on the devil. So when he comes up against our family and that head comes up, just go over there and just stomp his head. Just stomp it. Maybe two or three times. Just go stomp crazy. To the point that where when it comes up against your family, he's like, whoa, this ain't no animals off to the side this week. This is not something that's injured here. There's strength, there's help, there's assistance that's there because they're allowing that power of God to work in their life. That anointing that breaks every yoke that binds, that anointing that comes up there to where all of a sudden you stomp that head of that devil. Man, all of a sudden he's like, whoo, I don't want none of that. And so he's going to come up and maybe he's going to come up with people in your church. And we can be like our herd of buffalo. We can come up here, we can be that help to come in. Not judge, not look at the things in their life. I'm so sick of some of the things I'm seeing in the ministry right now. Everybody wanting to judge people about this and that and the holidays and women preachers and Sabbath keeping and all that. And like, stop it. Stop. Our job is to let God love us and love Him back and share that love with other people. That gospel of peace. Peace, folks. Not gospel of judgment. He didn't come to condemn the world, but He will put convictions in your life. Things that you just let people allow you to make change on the outside of your body, guess what? Those things don't change the inside of who you are. But when the God and the Holy Ghost is working inside of you, there's going to be that love thing called convictions. And that's part of that walk that you got to go up there and keep that trail blazed. And as God puts convictions in your life, you either say yes or no. And when you say no, then all of a sudden you're off the path. And then guess what? You don't have no joy. You don't have no overcoming power. There's no victory. And as time goes on, we don't have a meter on us that shows that we're using the Holy Ghost we have as it gets down to empty. And it's too bad, but the signs are all there. Because, see, to the source of the power that worketh in us comes from God. It's His Spirit inside of us. It's not something I can generate and give someone. It's not something my pastor can generate and give to people in need. We can pray with you, and we can pray for you. And when Satan's head comes up and he comes up and we see him up there with that head raised up, guess what? we're more than willing to come over there and take out these shoes and take them for a ride and go up there and go through whatever. Man, if we got to climb a hill, these are hill climbing shoes. Whew, we got to go across a stream. Man, these are shoes that's made to go across a stream. And when Satan sticks up that head, these are shoes that are meant to stomp his head. Stomp, 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 stomp it. Just let him know you have no authority, you have no power, because I'm taking this word of God, and I'm walking this walk with him. See, God is not ever going to make you do anything. But you want to come up higher in God? Then guess what? All you got to do is ask for it. When Peter was in the boat, and the disciples were all scared, and the storm was there, and Jesus comes walking out on the water, he just said, "Hey, you boys, get out of that boat and come walk it over here to me. Show me what kind of faith you got." No, but when Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come," he said, "Come on. Come get you some. Come on out here. Let's do some water walking. Come walk with me." And it's the same thing with all the things of God. You want to come up to a higher level? Come on. You want the Holy Ghost working in your life? Come on. Come get you some. I got it for you. I can spread a table of spiritual blessings like you have never imagined in your mind to give you what you need to be more than an overcomer, to be victorious, to be able to be a help to others, to be able to let people see what you walk. And people be drawn to that and say, "I want some of that." And when they come to God and say, "I want that," guess what? He's going to say, "Come on. It's for whosoever will. Just come get you some. I've done all the work. I've made all the preparations. I've given you this new garment. Come to the wedding. I've done it all." You want to have more power in your life? God's saying, "Come on. Come on over here. Come get you some more power." You want to be closer to God? He's saying, "Come on. Come get you some. I've got everything to equip you that no matter what comes into your path, whatever thing there is with other people, whatever thing there comes in with age, whatever thing that comes along with maybe loss of talents or loss of finance or loss of a loved one that you feel like your identity was established partially through that person. See, I've been blessed that I've had doors open for me in churches because I'm Bobby Lively's son. Blog Talk Mom, Lyrical Lively, Rapping Granny. She got more titles and Carter's got little pills. It was because as God places things in her life, she's like, "Yeah, Lord, I'm going to do that. I'm going to walk in that. I'm going to follow the path that you set before me. I'm going to follow you, Lord. Yep, it's got to go up here up a hill. I got my hill climbing shoes on. I'm ready to go." And this is just one piece of the full armor that God's given us to be equipped with, to be able to overcome all the things that Satan has to come against us, all the things that life has to come against us, all the things that the spirit of this world has to come against us. See, we understand that you can be injured in an accident, you can have things happen in your body because you get old. We understand that, you know, that there's genes in us that has faults in it that can be established to set off things like cancer. But we also have to be very aware that there are spirits of affliction. Spirits of affliction that can come against us. If Satan raises his head with affliction to come into our body. And you know what? We don't have to take that laying down. We can come up here and say, "I'm going to stomp your head." Well, how do we do that? The Bible says to call for the elders of the church. They shall anoint you with oil. The prayer of faith shall raise the sick. That's not my words. That's God's word. He's saying, "Come get you some." And then I love one of the things that we got established in our church. And I know it's easier because we're a smaller church. But that pray you one for another. You feel an anointing is working in your life in a service. And you see someone is struggling. They got a need in their life. You're not going to get no hindrance in our church to go up there and pray for that person. You don't have to go and embarrass that person. You don't have to go and tell this person, "Hey, you need to do this, 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 and this." You don't have to do any of that. Just pray. Because where we may not be able to speak the language and be able to fulfill whatever the need is that's lacking in this person's life that God's let us see that we need to go pray for. See, the source of the power comes from God. The weapons for our warfare. So we're in a warfare. This thing with Satan is not one of those things, you know, it's fight a battle and it's over and done with. You repent of your sins, get baptized in Jesus' name, get the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you, for people that have been in church for years and their spouse has not been in church, If you think the warfare's over because you got your spouse in the church, honey, you ain't been around near as long as I have and seen the things that I've seen. The warfare just gets started because now you got two people that are trying to assert to figure out who they are in God. I heard this song the other day and I love it. It says, I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. And then you say, well, that's a pretty catchy phrase with words, but stop and think about it. God says what? He's made us redeemed. He's a God of restoration. He's a God of healing. He's a God of salvation. He's a God that gives us overcoming power, the power that leads and guides us into all truth. He calls us his children. He says we're joint heirs with him. Talk about putting value on a person, trying to figure out who your identity is. When God says you are mine, God don't keep no junk around. God's not having to deal with going up there and getting food stamps and free cheese. And I'm not trying to talk bad about anybody who has to have that. See, God takes the broken pieces of our lives and the things that are destitute and the things that are just not working right and the things that are have parts missing off of it. And when you say, Lord, help me, he's got the parts that are missing handy and ready to put in place. And he's like, you got it. When you got the parts that's maybe a little dirty and a little scuffed up, he's got the ability to polish those things up and redeem. To take and think about where God can redeem a life. All the bad things, all the negative things, all the mistakes in your life. I tell you what, that's one of the things I am the most thankful for in my life is the redeeming power of God. That he's taken that and given me the ability now to minister to people of the same heart and the same mind. And Satan is sitting there pushing your button. You can't be saved. You're without hope. You got to hearing about the things of God as a child. You walked your own way. You walked away. Yeah, you knew the truth. You knew the plan of salvation. But you didn't take advantage of it. So guess what? It's all over. No. God takes that and he redeems it where it can be used for his glory. To where you can be a help to others that maybe nobody else can be a help to. See, there's another scripture in the Bible that says, and it's Romans 8 and 6, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See that, putting on that, the shoes, the gospel preparation of peace? He lets us know we're not going to come across that in our own thinking. That's just not going to work. But when you start becoming spiritually minded, when you sit there and you let the Holy Ghost be the lens that you look at everything in your life, it's like they used to talk about rose-colored glasses. Let the Holy Ghost be your lens. Because guess what? It's going to let you see things as life and peace. And that's what God wants us to have. He wants us to be able to do those things. See, preparation is one of those things, and I can give you the dictionary what it said about that. The action or process of making something ready for use or service or of getting ready for some occasion, test, or duty. See, that's what God's wanting us to do. He's wanting us to get these, and we got to do some preparation in these shoes. Preparation. Yeah, I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to stay focused on Jesus. I'm going to understand that I don't have to be without. See, Satan's like, oh, you can't do that. You can't play a piano. You don't have any talent. You don't have any skill. You've had professional people tell you you don't have any business playing piano. It's just not in you to do. And I saw that with Blog Talk Mom, to where people, you think she would have been shattered, but she's like, Lord, I go to church services where they don't have any musicians. I go places to help out these small works, and they don't even have someone that can sing and keep a tune. And so I would be off living life. I'd grown and left, and I'd come back, and I see Blog Talk Mom. She had her little auto harp, pushing that button and playing that chord and leading song services, singing praises unto God. Being that help, not just for the church, but see, that was being a help to herself because it was adding to her faith. You want to be someone that can be used in music in the kingdom? Come get it. Come get you some. I got it. Next thing I know, I come. My mom is sitting down at a piano, and she's learned this little chord thing that she can do that she can play enough that she can sing. And then years later, you see where all of a sudden she can play. And to me, it sounds like angels when I hear her play and sing. I can sense the anointing of the Almighty God in her voice as she sings, because she says, I want to fill this need. I want to do this, Lord. He's like, come on. Come get you some. See, he don't want to hold any good gift from us. You want more faith? He says, come get you some. I give you more faith. Yeah, you may have to do some more things as far as consecration in your life. You may have to walk a little closer to God than what you may have been comfortable with walking close to God before. Because that's all part of the process. It's the balance of things of a love relationship between you and God. Years later, all of a sudden, get a phone call. Hey, listen to this right here. And mom's got this rap thing. What does the word say? Boom, boom, boom. What does the word say? And you're like, what has happened to my mom? Has she flipped out? But see, God saw that she wanted to fill a need. She'd been working in these trailer parks where there was drug addiction and all these things, children being abused sexually and having so many different men and parents come into their life and in and out and going into prisons and things, and the drugs and addictions and alcohol things. There are people that can't afford to pay their electric bill, but after a weekend you look and they got a mountain of beer cans sitting in their backyard. That's the kind of thing that Satan wants to place on people. And God placed it in her heart. Go out. Witness to these people. Let your light shine. And so sometimes you can't speak the language of the people. You need something to transcend. And so what does God do? He gives her, in her late 70s, 72 years old I think she was, here all of a sudden she has this gospel rap. And then to show that it wasn't anything of edification or trying to get up on a pedestal within herself, that this was something that was of a spiritual nature that happened there. For almost 2 years, people were kind of making fun of her a little bit. You know, hey, this don't really fit, you know, what's going on in the church. And other people, like, they were just offended. Oh, my Lord, I can't believe you're going to try to take crap and sit there and try to apply that to God and put those scriptures in there and think, well, that's just awful. And then all of a sudden, 2 years later, she hands a CD. See, she's not charging. She's not making money for this. She's not getting wealthy or anything. She gives this guy at the service station a CD because God drew her to this person. And then what happens? It goes viral on the internet. And it goes all over the world. Songs that she has put together, God's laid in her heart, that's got a rap tempo to it. And it's not like some of this gangster rap stuff. And if you haven't heard it, I recommend you go to YouTube and look up Lyrical Lively and listen to these songs. But they have the Word of God in it. They have messages of peace and of joy and of hope. And it's speaking in a language. See, if you don't get it, that's fine. It's not for you. God put this out there for the person that needed it. That this is what would touch their ear. That it would be there. And you know what? When she did that, It wasn't one of those things to get personal glory and thing. It was what she was doing. She was stomping on that devil's head. Come on, Satan, get you some of this. I'm stepping in the gap for these people over here. They need help. And God told me, go. God gave me words. God gave me tempo. He sent a man into my life to record these things and to help put all these things together. And if you saw how that process worked, you realize it was a miracle. It was a miraculous power of an almighty God with an anointing that came in and put this all together. But when it went viral, all of a sudden, all these churches up there that maybe before was kind of standoffish and everything, like, ooh, man, we'd like to have you come over here and present this to our church or do this with our group and everything. And television shows started calling, hey, we'd like you to come on here and be on our television show, and we'd like you to come over here and be on this show and this talent show. We want you to come over and show this talent that you have on these shows. But see, it wasn't meant for personal edification. It was meant to edify God, to show that he loves you enough that no matter what language you need to hear, he's going to put it out there for you. He's going to spread that table. He's going to draw you in. And as he draws you in, the thing that he wanted to see from Sister Bobby Lively was commitment to walk that path. Not going to be sidetracked. Wealth of the world. Not going to be sidetracked by being put on a pedestal and come on all these television shows and all the things where people thought big money was going to come in from it. He'd be focused on Jesus. See the need. Feel the need. See the need. Feel the need. And that's what God's wanting to do in all of our lives. And if he can do what he did through one person, this wasn't no movie star. This wasn't no talent agent. This wasn't somebody that had something that you would think would be able to make this go viral. But see, God said, now's the time. I want to open this up to a broader audience. I want Sister Lively to know that just because you're getting older, it doesn't mean that I'm still not going to use you to fill these needs. Yeah, you can take puppets and you can sit down with grown-ups and kids and you can share stories with the Word of God in it. And I've given you a talent and an anointing that breaks yokes to where people are just drawn to that. I've given you hope where it seemed like there was no hope in your life. I've redeemed the things from your past. Satan wants to push those buttons. And God's wanting you to know today that what he wants you to do is stomp that devil's head. We don't have to take it. Make it to where he gets gun shy to want to raise up his head and come into your life. Just do a little devil stomping. Sometimes we need to get a little practice in doing that. You may first couple of times have a little trouble just kind of catching that head and everything, getting the right rhythm and the timing down. But as you get to practicing and understanding the authority that God's given us over these things in our life where Satan comes along, where he's given us not just power of anointing, but he's given us shoes made just to do a little devil stomping on that head. Kill him, demons. Knock them out. Out of your church, out of your family, out of your personal life. Just do a little stomping. Feel good about it. Get a smile on your face. Be happy. Because trust me, Satan ain't happy when you get to realize that you got these shoes. And they were meant to do a little stomping. And guess what? In that process, he cannot bruise your heel anymore. He can't hurt your arch. He can't hurt your toes. He can't do anything. He put obstacles in your path to try to keep you from being able to climb a hill. I'm going to put a big hill there. Man, you got these hill climbing shoes on. Maybe it's one of those things where it's going to be like an old truck we had, kind of put you in granny low. Maybe you have to get in that moaning and groaning in the spirit, climbing that hill as you're going up through there. And he may put some swampy ground there. And these things are made to go through. Man, it's got like big tractor cleats on the bottom. You're going to get traction. It ain't going to slow you down. You're going to be able to go right on through whatever obstacle's there. He's going to bring big things of snow. Guess what? Just stomp it on down. Go right on through it. You need to do a little water walking? Guess what? These shoes are meant to make it where you can walk on water. But what I really want you to concentrate on and really think about is these shoes. There used to be a song years ago, these boots are made for walking. That's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are going to walk all over you. Satan, guess what? We got some boots that's meant to stomp your head. Take joy in that. Understand that God didn't leave us halfway equipped. We're just starting with the shoes. You want to do some preparation of the gospel of peace? Read about the rest of the full armor that's there. You want to find out some things about God? Go past John 3:16. Go into the book of Acts, the enactment of the New Testament church, and read about the things that came in that God's got for you. See, there's a lot of people that they get sidetracked. They get self in the way. They forget the equipment, the things that God's had for us. And you can read about those churches that Paul sent letters to. Because see, those churches that Paul sent those letters to, those were the apostolic Pentecostal churches of that day and time. That was the way. That was it. And if you see all the problems that came into those churches, all the things that Paul had to keep addressing over and over, why do I have to keep writing you these laws? Just go back to your first love. Go back. Remember what it was like in that first love that you had with God. But see, it's just our carnal mind. We get to thinking up things. I figured out a way to do this easier. I figured out a way to do it better. No. Got to keep your eyes focused on Jesus. And when you say, Lord, I want to come, I want to be out there with you. He's going to say, come on. I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to make you do this. If you want it, here it is. Here I am. I'm here. I'm not putting the walls up between you. You're joint heir with me. You're mine. I'm yours. Come on, let's walk together. I'll give you a little extra anointing here when you get to stomping on that devil's head. I have some joy as you come along and you stomp on that devil's head. Because there's victory when you're stomping on that devil's head.
Well, that was a very good message from our very own Wild Bill. Blog Talk Mom,
Well, I'd really like to meet his mother. I mean, he says some really nice things.
That was so sweet.
I don't mind. I don't know. I cried when he was talking. You know, started laughing. And so, wow. I appreciate the wonderful words and the acknowledgement that the recognition, the entire message, Sister Charlotte, was excellent. And I just saw deeper and deeper in what he was saying about, because he has brought it to my attention many times about our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So is that our part of believing and hearing the word of God and studying the word of God and quoting the word of God and being at peace when things aren't how we would have designed it. You know, we wouldn't have made it that way, but we're at peace because we prepared ourselves by being in the presence of God. And for me to be able to hear my son bring forth the word of God and love God like he is, and you and he working together, that's the greatest reward. I mean, there's not anything that can make me happier except for everybody else to be doing it also. And God's doing it. God's really, everyone I talk to, they're feeling a deeper call to prayer and being in the presence of God, not allowing other things. I helped a young man that is going through a problem today, and he's getting into a different school. And so we were talking, and we stopped by Taco Bell and got one of the little packages, and he helped me load and unload some things. And he was putting all the trash in the, you know, everything in this one box of the food that we got. And he was supposed to, tomorrow night, I wanted him, we have fellowship with the children, and he didn't want to ever speak. But I was asking if he would be thinking about it, praying about it. And he was putting that trash in that box, and he said, it's like, I got it. I got the message. We're just filling our life with a bunch of trash. And I thought, wow. I mean, you got a message there, brother. And, you know, instead of the word of God and time with God, and he's just a young kid. But that's probably life in a nutshell. You know, we choose. Do we prepare by being in the presence of God, studying God's word? All the things that Wild Bill said was bringing to our attention with the scripture, or are we just filling it with clutter, filling it with even things that are even not bad? We're having a prayer revival breaking out in our church of children. They're like 10, 11 years old. And it has blessed my heart so greatly. And I went back to thinking and studying about the Azusa Street Revival in the early 1900s. And it started in a school, if I'm not mistaken. And I, you know, we can't put too much emphasis on time with God. I mean, time with him, not just leftover time, not the scraps of our life, but premeditatedly bringing in a time. And one of the men that I studied this week about in the early revival, when you came to his house, the first 30 minutes you were there, you read the Bible together. That's all. He didn't go into any conversation, anything. It was 30 minutes of reading the Bible and then 30 minutes of prayer. And then you could have fellowship or whatever, you know, went on from there. But, wow, if we did something, we wouldn't have much company for one thing, probably. That wasn't funny, I guess. But anyway, Wild Bill is right on target, and this is excellent. This is so, and I do appreciate the kind things he said about me. But we do know that not many wise and not many noble are called. And God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. So, you know, it's all about Jesus. It's all about him. love him so much. I've had, last night we had a jail service, and it was just beautiful. And the girls in the pod, they call it a pod, where they are, and we sang the chorus, fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord, come and quench this thirsting of my soul. And our eyes were closed. When I opened my eyes, all of them had their little hands raised as high as they could, you know, singing that chorus to the Lord. And that's just beautiful. In that environment, that they would just feel the presence of God so beautifully and so strongly. And God's reaching. You can't get too far. You know, you make your bed anywhere. I don't know exactly how that scripture went, but God's going to be there. And he's just, Wild Bill brought that out also. So I won't say all that much more. Is Wild Bill with us to say anything?
Yes. Wild Bill?
Well, thank you for the kind words, Block Top Mom. I thought that was so funny. I'd like to meet his mother. You're so nuts. But I really want to start with that. I had too many apologies at the beginning of this, but I realize it's hard for one thing to sit down a morning after you've had a message and then try to put it into words to put out on the radio show. You've done radio before, so you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes it just feels so cut up. You feel like you don't really hit but just the highlights of what you're trying to say. And the thing I love about God is that he can fill in the gaps of what I didn't say, so other people can get things that I may not even got in what I was getting, you know, when God gave it to me to present. You know, that's what I love about the Word of God. It's a living word, you know, and you get to thinking about the curse that was put on man in the garden, and then all of a sudden you realize the blessing, all Satan could do in that curse was bruise our heel. And it can hinder and it can cause all kinds of struggle and everything, but he gave us the ability even then to bruise his head. But then when I got to thinking about this full armor and looking at the footwear that we have and to understand, you know, snakes aren't going to bite through, you know, footwear God's given us for battle. It's just not going to happen. So I really appreciate you guys, and I got some up here at work fixing to come up to me. You don't have a clue I'm on the radio. So I just turn it back over to you guys, and I love you guys.
Thank you very much. We love you. I'm so glad that he did this. I've been asking him too for a while, but I know he's really been led by the Lord to use the teacher, which is excellent. Very, very good. Very thought provoking, different ways that he brings things out, the teacher. But I really wish Wild Bill would do this more often, because it was very powerful. I know when I first started my radio broadcast, I think I had radio for 12 years, and you feel like you're talking to yourself or something. I mean, it was the hardest thing for me to overcome that, because I was used to getting really excited. And I just did not get excited. I was, but it didn't show. And then after a while, I realized, because God didn't want it to have that sound that it had in church. It should have a different sound when it's coming forth. I believe God designs it to do that, because everyone wouldn't know really why we're that excited. You know, just like the teacher, he doesn't do that, and yet he brings out so many profound thoughts. This has been an exceptional time for me. The young people that are praying through that, I mean, they're praying for hours, and they're praying in the Holy Ghost. And I had, because of my physical situation, I'll be 80 in a few weeks, and had those situations. And I had just resigned myself not to get that excited. You know, just sort of, I don't know, I just felt like I couldn't really intercede like I had once done. And after praying and being in the presence of God with these young people working with that class, I thought, oh, I have really listened to the wrong voice. And I began to yield to that again. And it's been wonderful. I just wouldn't know how to convey it, other than when Paul, we're going to talk, they've asked me to teach on the gifts of the Spirit, and like in 1 Corinthians. And when Paul was correcting the church there because they were speaking in tongues, and there was no, it was like a spirit of confusion, so that when people didn't know the truth or the word of God, they didn't know what was going on. They were confused. And Paul gave beautiful illustrations and advised them, told them what the scripture meant and how to use the gifts. And, you know, when we're full of God's Spirit, you know, that's our place with God. That's not your place to get full for me or me for you. And that was illustrated in the five wise and the five foolish. I am responsible for staying full of God's Spirit. And by convictions, I love what Wild Bill said about convictions. They are the sweetest, nurturing things that God can give us when we don't want to do a particular thing. We do want to do something because it's an inner conviction. Our heart desires that. And we know we just yield into that until we're full, and then it overflows. It will overflow. And when it does overflow to those around us, then it's God's going to do a work. That's His Spirit that's moving out. That's the Spirit of love and joy and peace, the fruit that, you know, that comes from that. And it, when it starts flowing, it's just a beautiful, it's God's plan. That's bruising Satan's head, because Christ died. He got his head when he rose again from, you know, was the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But when we really comprehend and allow ourselves to stay in God's presence, so I've made a new consecration that the minute my eyes open up in the morning, I begin to quote scripture and praise God. It's not ritual. I mean, I am not going to face this day that I'm about to face without spending time with God. And other people are in the church have already felt led to do that. They're doing that when they first wake up. Some are getting up a lot earlier so they can spend time with the Lord. And the stories that people are sharing, it's just beautiful to what God is doing. And he wants to do that. God wants to touch people's lives. And it's just beautiful. I'm excited about what all the Lord's going to do. I have the fourth album that came out last week, and I know at least all of them were led by the Lord. They're very, very different. And most people are telling me that the very first one is the one that really touches their heart on the album. And the name of it is Steadfast. And that is what we want to be. We want to be a church. We want to be a people that's steadfast, unmovable, in this wonderful, wonderful opportunity to live for God in this small little space of time that we have. And the little children, you know, I have Porch Church, and really wanting them to see that accept their goal for eternity with God. And we've got a job to do. It's everywhere. And I love the Lord. It's just so precious how he's doing things. And got to spend time with my grandson and his wife this past week. And that was a great privilege and great, great privilege. Great, great privilege. I enjoyed that. So I'm just sharing a lot of my own thoughts there. So Sister Starla, I will turn it back to you, and anybody that's listening to this, prepare. It's the preparation of the gospel of peace, the good news that we win. Satan's head's done been stomped. It's done happened. All we got to do is believe it and receive it and let it go to everyone we know. And God will work with us. It's beautiful. I'm telling Phoebe, I said I was going to shut up, and I'm just running my mouth. All that encouragement from Wild Bill about his mama, that was sweet. I'm going to meet her for sure. Okay, I'm good.
Oh, that was awesome. We so appreciate you, Blog Talk Mom.
I love
y'all. Everything he said was right.
Y'all just want me to get you happy Christmas. That was mean, wasn't it? I don't even celebrate Christmas, but the children are being so sweet to me around here, and I got to thinking, I wonder if it's because it's close to Christmas time. Because I always give the go to these places that I can gather up gifts and things for children that don't have gifts. One year I took the nativity scene. I got every one I could buy and put them, the stores, even the restaurants and things would let me put them right there at the cash register so that it would be about, you know, if they're going to celebrate Christmas, let it be Christ. And I enjoyed doing that. If I could find where I put them, well, I do that again this year because I love the nativity scene. I think it's one of the most thought-provoking things that you can see. But I'm not really big on Mr. Ho-Ho. I don't. Whatever.
Yes, I understand. I'm with you. Well, thank you so much, Talk Mom. And we're so blessed to have you with us and everything you do, you know, on the show for us. We so appreciate it.
Well, I really appreciate the privilege and opportunity. It's just the highlight of my week, and I'm so thankful for it. I remember Rhonda Joy, my daughter, when she thought of it, it seemed like it was like a confirmation of when I had the broadcast, you know, for 12 years, and then when she introduced that, y'all took it up and went through the anything and anybody knows that you endeavor to do to be obedient to God, it'll be like Paul said, his grace is sufficient. It can't be done without the grace of God and that preparation. I love the way Wild Bill brought that out, the preparation. You know, we can't just be haphazardly about anything. It takes preparation, and preparation is the Word of God, time in prayer, seeking God, faithful to God, obedience to God. This was awesome. And I guess they say when you teach, you're supposed to repeat something three times, so I did. I love you, and I am quiet. Thank you very much.
Oh, well, thank you so much. We want to thank all of our listeners who are with us each week. And I wanted to remind everyone that we would not be having a show next week. People can be with their families for Thanksgiving. And we pray that you do have a very blessed Thanksgiving and you are with your families. And we so wish Blog Talk Mom could be with our family. That would be wonderful.
Well, I appreciate the invitation. I'll be preparing food for hopefully for several families in areas that need help. So, but if God would so want to, He can just put a Philip in the Bible. God just took him right out in supernaturally. So we'll believe that God can supernaturally bring me to Tennessee.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Well, it'd be supernatural with what I've heard about the traffic. Y'all have some traffic there. I live in a little community that's going to have that problem. I love it. I appreciate God. But y'all have a wonderful time, and we can visit on the phone, and that will be adequate.
Yes. Well, thank you all, and we'll see you back here in 2 weeks at your place. Good night.